Good morning, everybody.
Thank you.
How you guys doing? Good. Well, it's good to see all your beautiful faces this morning. We're really excited to be here.
Yeah.
Getting used to this sitting thing. I don't know how long I can sit here. So I if I stand,
these chairs
don't be
are like
afraid.
Really spinny too. So it's
really
fun.
Spinny. My feet barely touch them. So we're gonna have some fun this morning.
Well, we are Annie and Zach Spangler. And we've done speaking before. We've never done a speaking thing together. So this is going to be really fun and interesting.
Yep.
And we're bound to have a good time this morning.
Yep.
So it's going to be awesome.
Don't know what to expect. Neither do we. So just get excited.
Yeah.
You know. And remember, you can't judge us because you yourself will be judged if you do. I'm just kidding. But you will.
Okay, so anyways, we are Annie and Zach Spangler. We've been married for about a year and a half now. And life is great.
Yeah. This church is our home. This is where we met each other. I asked her on our first date right over there on that stairwell. This is where we fell in love. This is where we actually had our wedding. So this church is our home, and, yes. And it always has been.
Yes. I grew up here. Zach started coming when he was 13.
Annie was born here. I had my rebirth here.
There you go.
If you catch my drift, you know. So today, we are going to be talking about the wonder of a manger. And I know I've never heard a message about the wonder of a manger, and you might not have as well. So we're all going to have a new experience this morning, and it's going to be fun and exciting. But the thing I want to get across on the front end is the manger can seem like such a small detail, can it? It could seem like, oh, that's just a part in the Bible. It's probably just a coincidence, the manger, you know? But the thing I love about the manger, and as we look at this morning, is I think we'll find that God is interested in every single detail. And the manger just wasn't an accident. It wasn't just a coincidence that Jesus was born there. It wasn't like Gabriel just forgot to make the hotel reservation. No, this was on purpose. And I think sometimes as Christians, we can think that God is only in the big moments of life, you know, when crisis hits or we have this amazing moment in worship during No Longer Slaves, you know, you split the sea. You know, that's our moment. Those are the moments God is in. But I love this because as we look at the story today, we're going to find out that, man, God is in every single detail of our lives. He's in every single moment, and he wants to be intimately acquainted with every single moment of your life. And I love that. As we look at this story today, we're going to find that, man, Jesus had a plan for the manger. Amen? Amen. So let's look at Luke 2, 6 through 7. And it says, "And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them." So there you have it. Jesus is born into a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And I love this just because what we just talked about, you know, this wasn't by accident. This wasn't just by chance, but Jesus chose to have his homecoming to the world to be in a manger. And I love that because he wasn't just choosing to be born in a manger just because, but he was actually choosing so many other things when he was doing that. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about three other things that Jesus chose when he chose to be born in a manger. And the first one is God chose humility. Somebody say humility. God chose the unexpected. Somebody say unexpected. And then God chose love. Somebody say love. Let me hear you. Love. 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 I love crowd participation. So thank you. So that's what we're going to cover today. So we can just dive right into it. The first point is God chose humility. Now, I don't know about you guys. Sometimes in life, you choose humility. But there's other moments where humility chooses you. If you get what I'm saying there, you know, humility chooses you. And I have a lot of those moments in life, but I'll share one today. When Annie and I were first dating for about we've been dating for a little under a month there. And, you know, we're going on dates. She's digging my vibe. We're having fun. Like, all the signals are there. It's like, this is for real. So I'm like, all right, the time has come. I'm about to make her my GF, my girlfriend. It's game time. So I'm like, all right, I got this whole plan. I'm going to take her to the zoo. I'm going to write her a song because, you know, I got to use the music gifting to bless her, you know, and then make her my girlfriend. So I write her this song. It's so perfect. And we get to the end of the night, and I'm like, all right, this is my moment. The night's gone so well. I'm losing myself here. But I get there, and I write this perfect song. And even the last words, they were like, And now there's just one thing to ask. Is Annie, will you be my girlfriend? It was like, it was special. So I'm in this moment like, here we go. This is it right here. She can't say no to this. Like, are you kidding me? And then Annie responded,
we should talk about it. So then we, you know, proceed to talk about it. And in my mind this whole time, I'm thinking, we've gone on 3 dates. Like, we haven't even talked about, like, hey, I like you, you like me. Is this a thing? It's like, we've gone on some dates, we've kind of gotten to know each other. But, like, to be boyfriend, girlfriend, in my mind at this time, I was like, what on earth? So we talked about it. We had a great conversation. And I was like, no, I will not be your girlfriend right now. But someday let's keep dating and let's see what happens. And then I proceeded to make him wait 3 more months before we were officially boyfriend and girlfriend.
She needed a couple more songs before she was won over, you know.
Yes. But anyways, yeah, sometimes humility chooses you. But really, though, God chose humility. And so as we talk about the manger, I kind of want to just, like, set the scene for what's happening. I always like to picture myself in the Bible, you know, to be like one of the characters and one of the people that were alive when their scripture was being written. Because I think, for me, I grew up in the church, so sometimes I can read through the Bible, and in my mind, I view them as like cartoon characters, because that's what I saw when I was a kid, when some of these stories were described to me. And so I can view them as that, or I can just view it as like a story, but not real people. And so I like to put myself in their shoes and think, what did they think? What did they feel? What were they perceiving? What were they, you know, experiencing? Because I think it really helps the Bible to just come alive. And so to kind of set the scene for what's happening leading up into the birth of Jesus, basically we know way back in Genesis, the fall of man happened, right? And so the fall of man happened, and then essentially what the world was waiting for, the world was waiting for the Messiah. They were waiting for the Savior. They were waiting for hope to come. They were waiting for redemption to come. And they knew that the Messiah was coming. So they were in this period of waiting. Pastor Matt kind of hit on it a little bit last week too during his message, but they were in this period of waiting. And in waiting, they had heard a lot about who the Messiah was going to be, who the Savior was going to be, because there was all sorts of prophecies written throughout the Old Testament that were declaring who the Messiah was going to be and what he was going to be like. And so they grew up, all these people in the Bible, when Jesus was born, they grew up hearing about this Savior, this Messiah, and really truly waiting with expectation. And so I want to read one of the messianic prophecies that's in Daniel 7, verses 13 through 14, so that you can kind of see what they were expecting. It says, as my vision continued that night, I saw someone like a son of man coming with clouds of heaven. He approached the ancient one and was led into his presence. He was given authority, honor, and sovereignty over all the nations of the world, so that people of every race and nation and language would obey him. His rule is eternal. It will never end. His kingdom will never be destroyed. Right? So like when you hear that, when you read that, you're like, wow, like whoever this guy is going to be awesome. So that's the expectation that everyone has, that there's going to be this great and mighty ruler of all the nations, that he would establish a kingdom that would never be destroyed, that all the nations would bow down before him, that he would just kind of like come in, and it was like he was the ruler, he was the Messiah, he was the Savior. Everyone would know him, everyone would bow before him, and everyone would serve him. So that's the expectation. But what's funny to me is that when you look back at the story, we know what really happened, and we know obviously that Jesus was that ruler, is that Messiah, is the one that everyone bows down to, and everyone, you know, worships. But when he came in such a humble way, because we know that Jesus's entrance into this world was by Mary, right? And Mary was this vulnerable teenage girl who gave birth to a baby. A baby is like the most vulnerable thing on earth, right? Like if you've ever spent time around a baby, if you've ever had your own baby, then you know that babies need constant care and constant help with everything, right? Like they are, it is literally the most vulnerable form that you can come is as a baby. And that's what Jesus chose to come in as. So I can imagine that when Jesus was born as a baby, that this great Messiah, that everyone was kind of like, oh, didn't see that one coming. You know, like kind of like, oh, that's a very, very humble beginning. And then not only that, not only was Jesus born as a baby, this super humble creature, but then he was placed into a manger, which like Zach said, that is like, that was planned. Like it wasn't like it was like a forgotten thing or forgotten task or to like figure out where they were going to stay. It was planned that Jesus would be born as a baby and then placed in a manger. I mean, seriously, talk about a humble beginning.
Totally. And I think sometimes we have this idea of a manger as like this romantic, like you have the kids up here singing about it. Like it was this beautiful like scenery. But like if you think about what a manger actually was, it was literally a feeding trough for animals. The Savior of the world placed into a feeding trough for animals. And it's not like it was like a nice, soft, hey, Tempur-Pedic bed that like fit to your body, you know, those like new ones. No, this was like literally they were cement slabs more often than not. So it's like so funny to me that the Savior of the world would be placed in a manger. And Annie and I have our own experience with animal food.
Yeah. So every once in a while, me and Zach will watch my parents' dog, Jonesy. And if you've ever seen Jonesy or heard of Jonesy, she is a 2.5-pound teacup poodle. She's this like itty bitty, tiny, tiny, tiny little dog. And I am not much of an animal person or a pet person. If I had it my way, which I know that a lot of people are like, oh my goodness. But if I had it my way, I would like just never have a pet. If you want a pet, that's fine. I just don't want them in my house. It's just not my vibe. And so, yeah, I know some people, if there's anybody else that's like that, they're always like, yeah, amen. We're like passionate. So
where
anyways,
my cat people at?
Yeah, he loves cats.
Never a response. Never yeah. a response.
I know, cats, what? But anyway, so we watch Jonesy every once in a while. And Jonesy, she is like so little that she always eats this wet dog food. And it is so disgusting. And every time we watch her, I try to like, you know, feed her and put the food on her manger, if you will. But like every time I have a really bad gag reflex when I smell something gross. And so like if I start to smell like it's, never mind. If I start to smell something gross, it's like I can't help it. And I'm like, it's really bad. And so one time in particular, I was like, I can do this. I don't want to make Zach do it again. Like, I'll take care of it. You got this. I'm like psyching myself up like, come on. You got this, Annie. And I open up the package and it was like, I don't know what happened. Something died in it. And I opened up the package and I was like, I got one whiff and I was like, just threw the package on the ground, ran to the other room and was like, I was literally leaning over the couch being like, like thinking I was gonna vomit. And then Zach like runs and he's like, what's wrong? What happened? And I was like, Jonesy's food, I can't do it. So anyway, Zach then had to do it. So I still to this day cannot do her food.
It's my cross to bear.
Yeah. It's just so, so gross. And so anyways, I think about that and think about like the Jonesy food that's on her little manger and like the Jonesy, like just like what a manger is and like just imagining like so much more Jonesy food in a huge manger. It just is like disturbing to me. But all that to say that like Jesus, God chose for Jesus to be born as a baby and then to be placed in something that would hold animal food, which is just like, again, just mind-blowing. It's so awesome.
Totally. But we know, obviously, that it was on purpose, for a purpose, you know, that it was a sign of humility. You know, Jesus could have come in and had the biggest palace, been born into, you know, the most beautiful scenery, but instead, Jesus took literally the lowest place possible, and it's because he came as a servant. He came humbly to serve the people he had created, which is just so amazing, the God we serve, that he would do that, that he would come to serve us like that. You know, it says in Matthew 20, verse 26 through 28, it says, but among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man, Jesus, came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. How amazing is that? That our God, from start to finish, came not to be served, but to serve us, to put his life down for us. And I think what it's saying here is that greatness is shown in humility. Saying if you want to be great, be humble. It's so the opposite of the world system. You know, the world is always seeking after glamour, fame, followers. But Jesus is saying, if you really want to be great in my kingdom, in God's kingdom, be a servant. And what I love is Jesus has the best recipe for life. Amen. He knows the best way to live life because I know as well as you guys do, if you taste what it feels like to be generous, if you taste what it feels like to give of yourself, you know it is the most fulfilling life. Amen? Come on, can anyone testify this morning that giving of yourself is far more rewarding than taking of it? So I love that here because He was our example in that, showing us that humility is the way to true greatness and to true fulfillment in life. So the question for us this morning is, what could it look like in our lives if we chose to truly serve one another? What could your marriage look like if you truly chose to serve your wife, to lay down your life for your wife or your husband every single day? What could your relationship with your kids look like if you decided, I'm not going to let them serve me, but I'm going to serve them each and every day? Man, Jesus has the best recipe for life. And if we would just take him at his word, if we would just believe these words, that if we really want to be great, we should be servants, then man, our lives will be unbelievably fulfilled. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And I love that, because the greatest life you can live is a life in service to one another. So what do we learn through God choosing humility? We learn that God chose humility so that we could choose humility. Amen?
Amen. Awesome. All right, number two, God chose the unexpected. So Zach and I, like I said, we've been married for about a year and a half. And when we got married, I was 26, right? Yeah, I was 26, and Zach here was 20 years old. So there's a little bit of an age difference between
laugh.
Us.
You can laugh, it's fine.
We're 6 years apart. Yeah, it's funny. So anyways, God chose the unexpected, and we've experienced the unexpected. You know, before I met Zach, I used to, like, think, I think a month before we met or, like, dated or whatever, I think I had told someone, like, oh, yeah, I would never marry somebody younger than me. Like, if they were younger than me, then, like, only, like, a year or two.
Never,
like,
say never.
Yeah. But the unexpected happened. And I even remembered, like, you know, there was times where I was like 21, fresh out of college, and a bunch of my friends were married and engaged, and I was in some weddings and all this different stuff. And I was like single and praying and like, Lord, where's my husband? And like just praying for my husband and like, God, have you forsaken me? Like, where is he? And little did I know that the most unexpected thing would happen would be that my husband, when I was praying at 21 years old, that my husband was still in his sophomore year, 15-year-old biology class. And I was graduated from college. So again, the unexpected can happen. You just never know. But man, I am really grateful that the unexpected happened. Did I think it was going to be like this? Heck no. But I am so grateful, because Zach is like the best ever. So anyways, God can sometimes use the unexpected. And really, we do see that in the Word of God, that God uses the unexpected. And really, he uses unexpected people all the time. There's stories throughout the Word of God choosing people who would have otherwise been forgotten, people who would have been considered the weirdos or the losers or just the whatever, that they just weren't qualified. They weren't the right fit on the outside. God was constantly choosing unexpected people and using them to bring glory to his name and bring glory to his kingdom. And I think that's really, truly amazing. Just like God chose to use the manger in an unexpected way, God chooses to use people in unexpected ways. 1 Corinthians 1:27 says this: instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. So again, God chooses unexpected things. And so there's, again, numerous stories throughout the Word of God of unexpected people. But one of them that I really like is the story of Gideon. And Gideon is found in the Old Testament in the book of Judges. And basically, Gideon, he was called out by God to be a leader in the nation of Israel, and really to do kind of like this miraculous leading of the troops and of the army for the nation of Israel. And so God calls Gideon out and says, hey, Gideon, I want you to be my leader. I want you to lead Israel. And this is Gideon's response in Judges 6:15. Gideon says, but Lord, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family. You know, I think we can all resonate with kind of Gideon's response, because Gideon wasn't some like big name, didn't have really anything going on for him. He was really this like punk guy from a punk tribe and a punk family. He was like the least of the least of the least. And Gideon kind of like, he recognized it in himself. He's like, I don't have anything to offer. Why do you want me to be the leader? But nevertheless, God chose to use him, and God really did use him in an awesome way. And you can read the rest of the story in Judges, but it's this really incredible story of God using Gideon to lead Israel and to triumph, and really for so many other nations to then see who the one true God is and was. And so anyways, I am really encouraged by that story. And we wanted to encourage you this morning that if you feel like you're the unexpected choice, if you kind of feel like you're not from the right family, that you don't have the right qualifications, that you're not this enough or that enough, you're not good enough, you're not holy enough, you're not whatever enough, I just want to encourage you that God uses the unexpected. gifted. And that doesn't take you out of the game. That doesn't eliminate your ability to be used by God. You know, the world looks at the outside stuff, right? The world looks at who's qualified, how do they look, how do they appear, what do they have, the glamour, the fame, the followers, the whatever. The world looks at all of that. But the Bible tells us that God looks at the heart. And God is looking on the inside, and he's looking at, hey, whose hearts are willing? Not if you're the most qualified, not if you have the most accolades, not if you have this and that and whatever, but God's looking at the heart. And if you feel like you're unexpected, if you feel like you're the underdog, then guess what? You're in the perfect place to be used by God. And God's desire, and God desires to choose you and to use you to bring glory to his name and bring glory to his kingdom. So don't count yourself out. And we really believe that God wanted to encourage some people this morning that, man, you are in the perfect position to be used by God if you think that you're unexpected.
God uses the unexpected. And I think of myself personally as the most unexpected and unlikely person to be on a stage speaking to you today. You know, I was that kid growing up that you told your kids not to hang out with. Literally, I was that kid. I grew up not going to church, you know, cut from a different kind of family, you know, just very different upbringing, you know, was exposed to a lot of things at a really young age and just didn't know anything different. And I just grew up living my life that way for so long and was kind of hopeless for a long time and just didn't know what value life held. And the only thing I really had value in was skateboarding. So I spent every single day, hours and hours at the skate park every day, just feeling like my life didn't have any value and just feeling like, man, what is the purpose to all this? And then, man, praise be to God, somebody reached out to me, and there was these kids at the skate park, you know, who exemplified such joy and such happiness and such peace. And I remember wondering at the skate park, what is it that they have that I don't have that makes them so happy? What is it? What is it? Because I got to have it. And fortunately, somebody came and talked to me and explained to me about Jesus, and I knew immediately, that's what I need. That's what I need. And I asked Jesus to be the Lord of my life, and I never looked back, man. I knew where I was before I knew Jesus, and I knew how much better life was when I met him. And I was the least likely to be here today. But I can tell you by experience that God will take what you have. Little is much when God is in it. And when you have nothing, you are in the perfect place for God to use you, for God to choose the unexpected, for God to look at what man doesn't look at, the heart, the inner man. And if you would just be willing, man, God is choosing you this morning. God is choosing you. He's saying, I could use you. I could use the gifts, the talents, the things that are on the inside of you. You were born with a purpose, and God can use you in great and mighty ways if you're just willing to follow him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Awesome.
So we see that God chose the unexpected, and he's still choosing them today.
Amen. God chose the manger in an unexpected way to bring forth the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and God is choosing you. Amen. All right, number three, the third thing we see that God chooses is God chose love. So then the question kind of is this: why did God choose to send Jesus in the form of a baby? And then why did God choose to have that baby placed in a manger, a feeding trough for animals? And we really believe that the reason that God chose that is because God chose love. You know, he could have come in any other form, and he was God. So he could have come, and he could have come in, and he could have demanded that we love him, demanded that we serve him, demanded that we know him, demanded that we have a relationship with him. But he didn't. He didn't come in demanding all of those things. And once again, he could have, because he's God. But he came in this vulnerable state. And I really believe that he came in that state so that he could truly know us, that he could know our experiences as humans. He could know how we experience life, so that he could know us, and then so then we would then have the opportunity to then know him and ultimately to choose him. I think that really is the biggest thing, that we get to choose God. God didn't come in on this earth and say, hey, look at me, I'm God, love me, I created you, you're my creation, serve me. No, God came in and then he gave us the choice. And really, truly, choice is the essence of love. If you don't have the choice to choose God back, then you're just a robot that's just like, yes, I will serve you and follow you. But we get to choose God back. We get to choose to love him back. It's the same thing in any relationship that you have. If Zach were to come into our marriage relationship and he were to come in and say, I demand that you love me, I demand that you serve me, I demand this and demand that, I might respond out of fear. Or I might respond out of obligation, or just because I'm a rule follower and I'm like, you told me to do it, so I'll do it. And I could respond that way. But really, that wouldn't be true love. I wouldn't actually really, truly love him and give my life to him as my husband because it wasn't my choice. It was really a response to a demand. But God came in the form of a human so that and did everything the way he did so that we could choose him back and truly actually know him and have a relationship with him. Because if he would have taken our free will, he would have taken away our ability to choose and ultimately our ability to love.
Right, man, that's so good. And I love that. And I think this morning God wants to encourage us with this. You know, when God chose love, you know, so many people in the world are asking the questions, man, who is God? Can we finally settle it? Can I just see you, God? Can I finally know you? Just reveal yourself to me. And so many people are asking these questions and have these wonderings and these doubts. And what I think God wants to declare to us this morning is that if you're looking for a sign from God, he already came 2,000 years ago, and his name is Jesus. He was born into a manger, and he came to die for you and for me, to give his life on a cross. Man, Jesus was the visual reflection and is God. If you want to see God, look at Jesus. If you want to know who God is, what God's character is, who he truly is, man, look to Jesus, because Jesus came on the scene so that you could know and experience true love. Amen. Amen. God is so good. You know, it says in Jeremiah 31:33, the Lord says this. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Man, how could God love us, man? But he does. He loves us. He's loved us with an everlasting love. He said, I have drawn you with an unfailing kindness. I have drawn you with an unfailing kindness. Just like we've been talking about this whole morning, man. God is the great initiator. God loves us far more than we could ever love him, and all we have to do is respond. Amen? God is seeking to know you, to live life with you, to be with you. The creator of the world, man, just wrap your mind around that. God wants to know you inside and out. It says in John 3:17, it said, God came in the world not to condemn it, but that through him the world might be saved. So in closing, not only did God choose humility, not only did God choose the unexpected, not only did God choose love, but God chose you. And he chooses you this morning.